Resort hotel chain and casino group Sun International released its annual results today, reporting a 7% rise in group revenue. Adjusted headline earnings is up 4%, while adjusted headline earnings from continuing operations fell 3%, with Sun City's income falling by the same margin. The group has taken the decision to reduce the value of this asset by 306 million rand after it fell into an operating loss in the previous year. Other operations that are under pressure include Carnival City, Boardwalk and Table Bay, while Sun Dreams, Sun Slots and Times Square grew during the period. The company's CEO, Anthony Leeming, joins us on the line now with a closer look at the numbers and what it means for the company's growth trajectory. Anthony, thanks so much for your time this evening. So there we have it, Sun International achieving growth despite a weak economy, but very varied performances coming to the fore here. And we've seen negatives offset some of the positive performance, and as a result, South Africa's comparable income growing 1%. Give us a better sense of the trading conditions currently at play locally.
Locally trading is really under pressure. I mean, the consumer certainly hasn't got any spare change at the moment, and I think with all the challenges going on in the economy, we don't see growth picking up in the short term. But in the medium term, we are quite optimistic that the right things are happening in government, taking action on corruption. And hopefully in the business confidence will pick up and the economy will get a boost.
It's a key question at this point in the game because, despite you reducing the value of Sun City by 306 million rand with it slipping into an operating loss, Sun City's forward bookings are tracking ahead of the prior year. You've got Times Square starting to show good growth as well, particularly in the second half of the year. So one wonders if it's too much of an extrapolation at this point to talk about this demonstrating a few green shoots in the economy.
Yeah, look, we've not seen a lot of green shoots. I think a lot of our sort of saving has come through really efficiencies, costs, and really operate as best we can. So I think it's a real tough trading environment. You really have to be very efficient and very effective. And I think we are doing that. We took some action on loss-making entities. We've got some rights to restructure places like Carousel and Boardwalk, which we're going to implement. But I think if you look at Sun City, it's a little bit of a unique animal. You know, it's got such a low margin and operates off such a high revenue base that any sort of erosion of revenue hits the bottom line. So it has been a tough one. I think when we look at the outlook, though, yes, our forward bookings on conferences is ahead of the pace of last year. A lot of this has to convert. That's really on the conference basis, which we indicated. But leisure, also with a man in the street under pressure, will probably continue to be under pressure at this point in time. I think if you look at the longer term, if the government get visas right, we are very positive that Sun City will be a beneficiary of international, and that's where you yield a lot better on your margin. So let's hope that they accelerate that program and get it right.
In the current context, though, let's take a look at some of that restructuring you alluded to there. How far along in the process are you with regards to restructuring at Boardwalk and Carousel? And, what exactly are we looking at in terms of that restructuring alleviating pressure down the road?
Well, I think, really in the gaming industry, you need a lot of approvals to do things. So we've been speaking about the restructure for a while, but we've now got the approvals from the gaming board. We're on the process of implementing Carousel, and over the years, since Times Square opened, we have been reducing staff, and we've been trying to push them to other properties. So we don't see a significant impact on staff, but there will be a reduction, and that's a significant change in operation, where we'll go from 700 slot machines to 400, no tables, and possible closure of the hotel. So it'll be a drastic restructure there. In the case of the Boardwalk, we are waiting for final sign of our structures. The restructure has been approved, but the gaming board needs to sign a few restructures and engaging with the union at this point in time. So I would say that these processes tend to take 3 to 6 months. By the next results, I'd hope to say that the restructure is completed.
And until you are able to derive full benefit of those kind of processes that are underway, Anthony, it's really been LATAM growing 6% that's provided support for you over the period. But you've been very acquisitive on that end. So how are the fundamentals supporting the business right now? Give us a better sense of that.
Yeah, well, in the LATAM, I mean, Chile's still our primary operation. All the operations in Chile are the primary business. They still contribute 90% of EBITDA and revenue. So if you look at Chile, the economy is actually doing very well. They've got about 4% GDP growth. They've a company rich in resources and low unemployment. So it's quite a difficult environment, also emerging market, but resource rich and the right resources in lithium and copper, which are very which are badly needed in electronic vehicles. So they do see the economy growing quite strongly. I think that will only benefit us down the line. If we look at the, you know, acquisitive, you said, but we've only really bought two small properties, being Park Heights in Mendoza, Argentina, and then Thunderbird Resort, which is a small property in Peru.
Yeah. Anthony, in Chile, you've secured one of five municipal licenses that you've bid for. Does that scupper some of, or to what extent does it scupper some of the growth ambitions you had pegged out for that territory?
Look, it's not significant. I think when you look at why we weren't successful, I mean, we qualified in terms of our bid, but the final requirement was to put an envelope with an additional tax amount. Had we put the tax that our competitor put out there and it was only one other person bidding, you know, we wouldn't have got any near where the returns we need. In fact, one property would have made zero EBITDA based on the tax number that's being proposed. And if you have a look, Enjoy is under pressure. So we're not too concerned. They weren't the biggest operations. At the same time, we've challenged the Portovarus award to Enjoy on the basis that their technical officer shouldn't qualify, and that'll probably delay the process by quite some time before we have to hand over that license. But certainly, you know, to have won the license, our property is worth quite a lot of money we could sell, and so to take a huge cut in EBITDA wouldn't be worthwhile. So fortunately, not the biggest properties. I think there's still very good growth prospects in LATAM.
Yeah.
While you pursue growth opportunities on that end, you've also been actively whittling away at your debt. Together with the equity raise in June last year and the strong cash flow you've generated over the period, you've reduced your South African debt levels from 11.4 billion rand to 9.2 billion. What are you targeting on that end, and how soon do you see the company hitting those targets?
Yeah, look, I think if you look, we 9.2 billion represents about 3x debt to EBITDA. That level's still a little bit high, but not terribly uncomfortable. So I think we're targeting to get below 2.5. Ultimately, try to trade around about 2. I foresee us to get into 2.5 in 18 months, probably 18 months to 2 years maximum. At which stage we would probably resume dividend payments and then continue to reduce debt. Clearly, having paid back 2.2 billion debt, our interest bill is going to be significantly lower next year. And that also just flows through to the bottom line and just increases the free cash flow from operations.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, Anthony. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That's Anthony Leeming, CEO of Sun International.